Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 1. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are very thankful for this evening. Thankful for the blessings that we heard tonight. Thank you for the many, many blessings that you bestow, not just on each of us personally, but also the church as a whole. And we're looking forward now tonight for all that you have for us from your word as we look into Ephesians chapter 6. The Father will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, starting at the arsenal of the army, the plea for servanthood in the family, duties of children and fathers. The duties of children is to obey their parents. Obey their parents. Also, respect your parents, right? Obey and respect your parents. Bible says, for this is right. For this is right. I tried using that on my daughter when she got married and they weren't going to move back here. I said, wait a minute, you're supposed to obey your parents. And she said, that's prior to getting married. I said, I didn't see that in there. Anyway, I didn't win, but I tried. Anyway, look at Colossians. Just over a couple books to Colossians 3:20. This is the one I got to use. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. In all things. Obey in the Lord. The child that is in the home is to willingly submit unto the authority of the parents with an obedient submission. They're to do that because the parents are agents of the Lord placed over them. Obeying parents as if obeying the Lord himself. The Lord's the one that says they need to do it. They need to do it. And as they will learn from submitting to the authority in the home, they will also learn that they need to submit to the Lord, to God himself. The reasoning here is simply put, because God has designed and required it, saying it is right. Children, this does not refer particularly to your children, but to all offspring. Sons and daughters still under their parents' roof are to obey and honor them. Obey has to do with action, and honor has to do with attitude. You need to do it with the right attitude too, right? How many times have I said, when we serve the Lord, we need to do it with the right attitude? When we come up to Sunday, being the first day of the week, and it's time to go to church again, it's not, I have to go to church. The right attitude is, I get to go to church, right? I didn't get a single amen out of that. I get to go to church instead of I have to go to church. The right attitude is, I get to, right? I get to serve the Lord. Instead of, I have to serve the Lord. Part of it's attitude. We need to obey, but we also need to have the right attitude when we're doing it. And sometimes our attitude might not match what we're supposed to be doing. Although men and women are no longer under the authority of their parents once they themselves marry, special respect and concern for their parents should continue as long as they live. Still have to have respect and obey your parents. We need to be respectful for sure of everything. And sometimes I've found that that's not happening. Some people, they leave the home and they treat their parents terribly. And it shouldn't be that way. And over the 8 years I was at the nursing home ministry, I saw where children would drop their parents off of the nursing home and leave them. And maybe, on a very rare occasion, they'd stop in and see how they were doing. It was like they were a burden to them. It should never be that parents are a burden to them. In fact, I was talking to Robert when we were working on the side out here, and he said, you know, there are some customs where parents are never put into a home. They live with the family. And he says sometimes they'll have a main house, and then they'll have other like little cottages where people from the family, so they all live together. And then the parents are there and they're taken care of by the children until they're gone. I said, yes, I do know there's areas like that. I said, and it would be great if everybody had the ability to do that. Some people don't have that ability to do that, but it would be nice if we did, right? Some people, due to health issues of their own, they just can't take on the responsibility. Their loved one wouldn't get the care that they need. But I understand that. But instead of taking them and dropping them off and forgetting all about them, you need to still care for them. Still need to respect them. I've said many times, Dad's going through terrible, terrible disease with this Alzheimer's. Don't wish it on anyone. But it's not his fault. It's the disease. And we need to remember that and treat him with respect. As I've told the family over and over and over, I'm not going to lie to him. They want us to lie to him. Well, tell him this or that or the other thing, but don't tell him the truth. No, I'm not going to lie to him. If he asks me, I'm going to tell him. It's not my job to lie to him. It's my job to treat him with respect, which means I need to be honest with him. The child who is brought up to obey and honor his parents will always be sensitive to their wisdom, counsel, and welfare. The first step in proclaiming God's truth was to pass it on to their children. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We're supposed to teach our children. I always say, and I pray for those in the church. I pray for everybody in the church, but I pray for parents that they raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's what they need to do. I also pray that those children would come to know the Lord at an early age. That would be really great, right? And that they would follow the Lord and serve Him all of their life. Those are prayers we need to be praying. These children need our prayers. Parents were to continually speak about the things of God so that the knowledge and love of Him would become a matter of life and breath for the family. It's very important. If you, like some, take their kids and drop them off at church and pick them up after, right? What does that show your children? Shows that you are telling your children that God isn't important to you. You need to be modeling respect for God so that when you're teaching that to your children, respecting you, they will eventually learn that they need to respect God. And that it is important. God's very important. We need to make Him a part of our lives. When the parents were not speaking, the testimony would continue. So when you're done and you're not there to talk to them, that testimony of what you've taught them all along is going to stay with them. And then it's God's plan for his word to be passed on from one generation to the next. And his primary agent is the family. Why do you think that Satan has worked so hard at destroying the family unit? Because God designed it that the family would be where children would learn about the Lord. Let me tell you, you can't send kids to public school and expect them to learn about the Lord. Not going to happen. We were fortunate that our kids are older. Fortunate that our children had some teachers that were Christians. Believed in the Lord. And even though they had to be careful how they shared things in the classroom, they weren't ashamed of the fact that they were Christians. And they let it be known. And then in the Lord, this phrase grammatically does not modify parents, for this would mean that only Christian parents are to obey. Rather, the phrase goes with obey, that is, obey those parental instructions, whether from Christian or non-Christian parents, that are in line with the Lord's will. So what happens if the parents aren't in line with the Lord's will? Children aren't instructed to have to obey that. Obey your parents in the Lord. One of the lessons that is most important to the spiritual growth of a child is to teach them to obey the Lord. That's vital, that they learn to obey the Lord. Obedience to the Lord is taught a child in obedience to his parents who are in the Lord. If you're modeling respect and honor and obedience to the Word of God, that's what they're going to see as they're raised in your home. It's important. It's very important. Disobedient children are a problem to themselves, their parents, and to the Lord. Verses 2 and 3, honor means have inward respect and reverence for. It is inadequate for children to obey parents only outwardly. They must also respect or honor them inwardly. It's kind of like that, I hear what you're saying, but I don't care attitude, right? It's kind of the same attitude. Well, I come to church and I hear the word of God, but I'm not going to obey it. It's attitude, right? It has everything to do with attitude. As I said earlier, you know, I get to go to church. It's different than I have to. If I get to, I'm excited, I want to be there. If I have to, I can't wait for it to be over, right? It's all about attitude. We have to have the right attitude. Which is the first commandment with promise? The fifth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus is the very first of all God's Old Testament instructions to be given that possesses an attached promise. Look at Exodus 20, verse 12. Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's a command with a promise attached. The promise is twofold. Honoring, obeying parents ensures a long and a prosperous life upon this earth. While verse 1 speaks of action, this term speaks of attitude, as Paul deals with the motive behind the action. I've said many times, it's all about our motive, because God sees the motive as well as the action. I've told people many times, if you're begrudgingly putting your tithe in the offering plate, I suggest you don't do it. People say, well, why not? Because the Bible is very clear, God loves a cheerful giver. If you're giving with the wrong attitude, with the wrong heart, there's no need to give it. Let me just make this perfectly clear. God does not need your money. But he wants some of his back. Do you get that? It belongs to him. But the attitude has to first be that it is his. And I'm just giving some of what he gave me back to him, because that's what he's commanded me to do. But when I say, no, I don't want to give this, but I have to give this, God knows that that's your attitude. That's not a cheerful giver. That's somebody who has an attitude about giving and isn't ready to submit to God or obey. And that's a problem. When God gave his law in the Ten Commandments, the first law governing human relationships was this one, Exodus 20:12. It is the only command of the ten that relates to the family, because that principle alone secures the family's fulfillment. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 2. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The word honor is the word timeo, and means to prize, to revere, value. Yeah. That's what we need to do. The right attitude behind the right act of obedience is honor, which means to value highly, to hold in the highest regard and respect. In both its verb and noun forms, the word is often used as a term of reverence, preciousness, and honor regarding God, the Father, and Christ. He says, honor thy father and mother. This is the only commandment of the ten that relates to the family, because that on principle alone, when obeyed, is enough to secure the right relationship of children to their parents. Yeah. I have to tell you, when my children obeyed, life was great. When they disobeyed, it didn't work out for them so much. They needed to learn. We need to learn. When God's people, his children, disobey, there needs to be a consequence. And when it hurts too much, we'll change our attitude and our behavior. Until then, we may not. A person who grows up with a sense of respect for and obedience to his parents will have the foundation for respecting the authority of other leaders and the rights of other people in general. Honor means to have a high regard for those in authority above you. We aren't seeing that played out in society today. People in authority are disrespected. It's wrong. It's wrong. We're supposed to obey those in authority. We're supposed to respect those in authority. If we don't respect and obey those that are in authority that God has placed here on this earth, what makes us think that we're going to respect and obey him? Is he not an authority figure in our lives? Let's just put it this way. He's the greatest authority figure in our lives. We need to be obeying those who are in authority over us. Children are to honor both their father and mother, to hold them in the highest possible respect. The first commandment with promise. Although submission to parents should first of all be for the Lord's sake, he has graciously added the promise of special blessing to those who obey this command. Definitely. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That your days may be prolonged. That things will go well with you. We need to do what God says. Not just hear it, but be doers of the word. Respect for parents is such a grave importance to God that Moses commanded in Exodus 21:15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. It was important back then. It should be important today. I've seen over and over and over where parents disrespect, their children disrespect their parents. I've been in homes where I've questioned, Are the parents running the house or are the children running the house? After I spent a little time there, I understood it was the children running the house. That's not the way God designed it. I remember years ago, I said, you're to be the parent, not the friend. Right? Step up to the plate and fulfill your role. You're a parent, not a friend. Doesn't mean you have to abuse the kids. You don't have to be, you know, overly strict about every little detail in their life, but you need to be the parent, not the friend. That was not all. Leviticus 20, verse 9 says, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. It was serious. It was a serious matter. I have to tell you, if these laws were in place here, there'd be a whole lot less children in the world. And it wouldn't be because of abortion. I'm just saying. Can't tell you how many times I've been to the store and kids just act the wild banshee. And the parents, I mean, they start doing the counting number. I'm thinking, somebody should take you out and beat you because you're not training your children in the way they should go. You're letting them get away with too much. Children are pushing the boundaries to find out where they're at, just like Christians are pushing the boundaries with God to find out where they're at. There's a boundary that you should not cross. Children want to know where that is. If you keep giving up and giving up and giving up and they get their way over and over and over again, they're always going to do it. They need to know there's boundaries. We need to understand there's boundaries. Either to physically or verbally abuse a parent was a capital offense. If your parents were to go completely against God's teachings, then your first obligation would be to keep God's law. Children who respect and obey their parents will build a society that is ordered, harmonious, and also productive. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I did over my lifetime. We have no Bible in the schools, and things went downhill fast. Then they said, well, we just have to build more prisons, right? No, what we need to do is get the Bible back in the school system, teach children the way they should go, have parents that have a backbone and say no and mean it. We wouldn't have to build so many prisons. A generation of undisciplined, disobedient children will produce a society that's chaotic and therefore destructive. I don't know if you noticed, but the Summer of Love and Peace over in Seattle was not so much love and so much peace. But see, you've got adults saying it's a summer of love and peace, and you've got children saying, well, this is something we need to get involved in because it's all about love and peace. No, it was nothing about love and peace. It was destructive and chaotic. The honor of parents does encompasses providing for them when they can no longer provide for their own selves. Just as parents spend 20 or so years taking care of and providing for their children are to spend whatever time and money is necessary to care and provide for their parents should the parents no longer be able to do so for themselves. I've said all along, we need to take care of our parents till they're gone. Some parents have the wherewithal to do that. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? Some don't. We need to take care of them. I said, I could no way whatsoever put one of our parents out on the street. It wouldn't happen. We would have to do whatever it took to make sure they were taken care of. Couldn't do it. I thank God that my father-in-law has the funds to take care of his care and should have enough for several years. He's going to be 90 the end of October. Didn't think he'd live past, well, what, 31 years? So 21 years? He's already 21 years past what the doctors thought he'd make it. Isn't that interesting? People always want to know, Doc, how long do I have to live? My father-in-law asked at the last heart valve he had put in. Said, Doc, how long will the heart valve last? The doctor said, till you die. I said, finally a doctor gets it, right? They don't know. And if they give you a time frame, it's based on what they know from their experience. Not everybody's the same. So we don't know. But we need to take care of our parents. Make sure that they're provided for, their needs are met, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The longer I live here and the more aches and pains I have, the more I'm looking forward to going home. But as long as I'm here, I still need to do what God says. That's take care of the only parent we have left here on this earth. That's Dad. And we'll see to it that he's taken care of and provided for. The command to honor your father and mother in Ephesians 6:2 is twofold. That it may be well with you relates to the quality of life, and that you may live long on the earth relates to the quantity of life promised. The original promise was to Israel and involved many tangible, physical, and earthly blessings. Paul's reference here shows that it also extends to believers today. Though its blessings may not always be tangible, a family where children and parents live in mutual love and submission will have rich, God-given harmony and satisfaction that other families can never know. I can tell you, when I was young, so in my early teens, I went to church with a guy. His parents didn't take him to church. In fact, the stories I heard about what went on in that house was horrible. And then one day, we got a call. My mom got a call from the pastor of the church, said that boy had shot his parents to death in their sleep. Chaos and destruction. They didn't care if he went to church, but they didn't want to take him. They didn't want to be involved in it. They didn't want anything to do with God. And the things that went on in that house were horrible. Chaos, destruction follows. Sad. Threw his life away. Ended up going to prison for the rest of his life. Said he was mentally unfit to be in society. He was a teenage boy. Mentally unfit to be in society. It was sad. Could have been avoided if people would just do things God's way. But sin is in the world. We find in Christian families that parents are very interested in their children's welfare. Children who honor their parents can learn from the parents' experiences. Children who are obedient to parents do not get on drugs and alcohol. They stay in school and do well. If parents that are much older and more experienced cannot fulfill their responsibilities without being saved and being filled with the Holy Spirit, how much less can children be expected to fulfill their responsibilities without those spiritual requirements? Discipline follows in their life, and they become responsible adults. discipline and success go hand in hand. Tell people it's because you love your children that you discipline them, not because you hate them. And let me throw this out. Never, ever, ever discipline your children in anger. Ever. I had times when I sent my children to their room, I said, you go to your room, and when I calm down, we'll deal with this. Because if I spank you right now, you'll never sit down again. I said, I cannot hit them in anger. I did get angry several times, but I didn't hit them. We have to be careful not to. Children are just as much commanded to be filled with the Spirit and to be submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God as the husbands and wives of Ephesians 5, 22 and 23 and the parent of Ephesians 6, 4. Duties of fathers, I've also added and mothers in here, Ephesians 6, 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oops, we're out of time. We're going to have to stop there. I didn't realize it was quite that late.